Welcome to Workforce Water Cooler, presenting total talent solutions and insights impacting the labor market today. Brought to you by TRC.
Welcome to the Workforce Water Cooler, presented by TRC, the one-stop podcast for all your workforce questions and answers. I'm your host, Chuck. And today joining me on the podcast will be Brian Robinson, the CEO and president of TRC Talent Solutions. Today, Brian's going to talk about the name change that we recently went through, as well as the rebranding structure, and what the future of TRC holds. Brian, welcome to the Water Cooler.
Thanks, Chuck. Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited about talking to you. But before we jump into the topics that we're going to discuss, the name change, rebranding, I want to know a little bit more about you, Brian. How did you get into staffing? Was that a passion of yours?
No, definitely not a passion. My father was one of the founders of TRC and had been in the staffing industry for a long time, going back to the 60s. So what I always say is, if you're the child of somebody that owns a temporary help company, you will one day become a temporary help employee.
Oh, yeah.
So I started as a temporary help employee and would do little things around the office to help out, clerical work and things like that. But I never saw myself working in that industry. They didn't really push us as their children to be in the industry at that time. So I didn't really see myself pursuing that until later on in life.
So when you started, where did you start at within TRC?
For TRC corporate, I started as a recruiter.
Okay.
And, pretty much the entry-level role was called an AOM. And that's an operational role where you're pretty much interviewing and filling orders on a temporary basis every day. I did that for pretty much my first year.
You know, it's interesting. I started my career off as a recruiter as well. That experience is invaluable as you continue to progress through your career because you kind of understand what's happening at the desk. Would you say that that's helped inform how you've run the company?
Absolutely. I believe that that role along with the branch manager role is the key role in my career. And I believe the branch manager role in staffing is really the one that you do the most learning on. And it's the one that really sets my thinking in my career today the most.
So how long did it take you to make it to branch manager?
3 years. 3 years. In Atlanta, we had many branches. We had several branches. And over time, you would eventually get your chance. So I was a salesperson for a couple of years waiting my chance. And someone turned over. And it was out in the east side of town. And our branch was Stone Mountain at the time. And that role came available, and I moved over there and took over a team there. And that was my first foray into management.
With your dad being one of the founders, it was easy, right? It was easy to take that branch over and run it, wasn't it?
No. So I'd been there for a few months, and 9/11 happened. We were at the office, and I was with Elisa, who is still in training here at the time, and she came running back at, telling me planes had gone into buildings. It was hard to put your brain around it at the time and understand what it was going to do, but it really was the first serious challenge of my career at that time because things got really hard.
Yeah, the industry did take quite a hit for a couple of years. And then just a few years later, we had the financial crisis. So when you were cutting your teeth in this industry, you were coming up during some pretty rough times.
I went from the best of times, late 90s. That was the best probably our industry's ever seen. And I went to post-internet, post 9/11, and we had drastic changes, and it's really been a ball of change ever since.
Yeah, but now we're getting ready to be post-AI at some point here.
Very similar. Yeah. I believe there's a lot of similarities to the internet and to what we're probably going to see with AI. I think they're very similar for our business.
I would agree. Is there anything else that you would point to from your time working in a branch that you felt like was really impactful? Maybe it could be on how you're running the company, or it could just be how you see things in general in relation to employment.
Well, my dad taught me very well at the very beginning that was the most important role, because what we do at TRC is when you learn the branch manager role, you get a full P&L. You basically are running a small team and you're an entrepreneur yourself that's running $7 million in sales and you're hiring and firing. And when you have a P&L, what's very interesting is that my dad would show me, he said, look, your P&L is the same. There's just 50 other ones, other branches across the country. And once you understand this one P&L four-year branch, you can understand the entire company. And that was the truth.
Obviously, I mean, he was a great man and knew a lot about the industry, but that's incredibly true. I mean, I remember I came from sales. I started out in recruiting, which is sales, whether people want to acknowledge it or not. Correct. But then truly went into sales before I became a branch manager. And my opinion on how I did things changed quite a bit once I started seeing the expenses on the actual P&L.
Yeah, you get people with some crazy behavior, like, you know, saving toilet paper and, you know, having it real hot in the office. People would do anything to get their bonuses higher.
Yeah. I always said, though, if you're chasing paper, something's wrong.
I recommend selling more, not counting
That's
toilet
what
paper.
I would recommend as well.
Yeah.
But now that does, you know, bring us to, obviously, it wasn't an easy decision for you, considering that this was your father's company and there's a long-standing tradition history with the TRC name within this market. What brought about wanting to change the name of TRC from TRC Staffing Services to TRC Talent Solutions?
Well, it was not our first name changed. Our first name was Temporary Resources Corporation. And as we grew, it went to TRC Temporary Services. And at some point, the name Temporary was not correct. It was not what our customers were looking for. They didn't need just temporary labor. They needed long-term staffing. So our name changed to TRC Staffing Services for around 20 years. And now that we've changed to TRC Talent Solutions, it's really because our customers have changed so much that staffing is one of only a piece of what they're really needing. And we really needed the name to explain better what we did. And Talent Solutions is a holistic way of explaining what we do.
So did you see it in the market? Did you kind of see it coming before it happened that there was going to be a shift in how companies were utilizing their staffing services? Or was this in response to something that happened?
I think that it's in response to what the customer has changed, how they have changed over time. And if you look back, I believe the vendor management systems are the compelling reason that really changed the buyer behavior. And now if you look, over half of our industry is running through a VMS tool. And I believe that the customer has been changing over time to deal with the flaws of the VMS and what it doesn't accomplish. But I believe that that's been the main thing that's happened. And that's really only happened because of the internet. The VMS would not be possible, and it came along because of the internet. So the internet's changed a lot, and I'd say the VMS and managed services are the main drivers of why we needed to change.
Will you elaborate a little bit on that? So what are some of the things that made you feel like the verbiage talent solutions, like what are some of the products that would come out of that that really kind of defined who we are moving forward?
Well, like I said, staffing is a part of what we do. And it's I'd say it's the core. We still run a weekly payroll and we are still filling, people moving and on and off our payroll every week. And the customer still, that's a big part of what they need. But there's also things that they don't want to put through under the staffing bucket, and that would be a project. And a lot of times those are going to be called a statement of work. And what the customer has been doing is that they are more and more interested in either you owning the whole thing, you know, outsourcing, owning a project, and they want to see more skin in the game instead of you just sending somebody and billing them hourly. They want to know that you're going to have a skin in the game, completing the project and having more of a negative if it doesn't work out.
A true partnership type of relationship.
And I think if you're good at what you do, I think that you definitely lean into that and are excited about being brought into those type of solutions. And I think some companies just want to stay and fill orders and be a staffing service. But I believe that we're more, always been more. And another thing that, really, when you look at, we do a lot of on-sites and we manage facilities with over 100, 200 people in there. And once you start doing that, you are offering more solutions. So that's another thing that it's not just staffing. It is never ending and it's ongoing management that you're doing at that point. So I believe that there's just so many different ways to solve the customer's problem now that there's not just one word to call it that.
Yeah, that's always kind of been the ideal in our industry, is to get to a point within the relationship where you're not just a vendor, that you are truly a partner with them. And I like the fact that everybody says that, right? All companies say they want to be their partner, but they're not intentional about developing the partnership. They expect to show up and then just get the partnership. What I like about the way that we're approaching the business is we're trying to earn that right to be their partner. And it's our goal from the jump. It's not just, let me send you some warm bodies, let's get some people in the door. We really kind of want to be standing there and helping getting these people to work and helping advise you on the best way to do this moving forward.
That's right. And when I look back to where it really started on our journey from not doing more than just what we call commercial staffing, which was clerical and light industrial, is that I was a sale. It was when I was a branch manager, and I would go out and I would sell, you know, clerical administrative services. And I kept coming back getting IT orders, and I was just handing them off to different companies that I had friendships with. And it was very lucrative business that I just kept handing off. And so I just got tired of our existing relationships, my friends coming to me with, you know, human capital problems that I thought we could solve. And we didn't say we did that. It was just like, oh, we don't do that. No, we don't do that. But they were totally within our ability to solve those problems. And they trusted TRC and they wanted us to do it. And then I kept telling them I couldn't. So we needed to build that muscle. And we started with engineering. We started 15 years ago. We did TRC Professional Solutions. And we started in the engineering department. And our CSO now is the first person. He was a recruiter. And we put Travis into that role. And he just started filling engineering orders. And we built it from there. And it's becoming a strong expertise for us now.
That's a good point to reference. We actually did a podcast with Travis. I think it was our first or second podcast. So if you haven't heard that one, please go back and check it out. It was a great podcast. I really enjoyed that conversation with him. So Brian, you know, stepping back a little bit to the rebranding, that's a heavy lift. That's quite an undertaking. Can you talk a little bit about that process of going through rebranding?
It took a while. It really centers across your web, right? And your web presence and your name and your URL. And so that was the first thing that you have to figure out what makes sense to the customer. We didn't want to change complete names. We wanted to keep something that the familiarity of the brand. So we went through basically a contest of, you know, just seeing what the best ideas were from people inside the company. And after several months of going through those different name changes, we came up with TRC Talent Solutions. So it really came from our folks here inside the company is where that came from. And you have a lot of branding changes and stuff like that, but it's really minor compared to, I think right now we're in the harder part is for your customer to get used to it and to people, you know, that are used to hearing your name, hearing the new name. And I think that that takes a lot of energy that we're still emphasizing right now and trying to do.
Yeah, it's obviously clients don't like change. That's something that we know in our industry is that things change and people get a little squirrely. They get a little nervous. Were there any things that came out of changing the name that were unexpected, either negative or positive?
No, I'd say it's mostly positive. I believe that all it's doing is saying much better what we do. Staffing is not the only thing we do, and we do a lot of other things very well, like direct hire and RPO and executive level placement. And a lot of our customers, that's all they buy. They don't buy the staffing, and they always wonder, why in the world do you have a staffing URL? Mm-hmm. So it was actually more negative beforehand, and that's why we ended up changing it, was because we had more customers. It was confusing. Staffing confused them a little bit. And so that's why we ended up needing to change it. So I think it actually relieved some of our customers, quite frankly, and said a lot more what we do to them. But I do think some people that have used this since we were a temporary help company, because we have customers that we still have from the 80s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people probably still think we do temporary and temporary help, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Because well, we do.
We can do that for you as
we
well.
We can do that too. I'd be glad to fill that order for you.
You know, we kind of joked about it earlier, Brian, about how we're going to be post-AI soon, right? And that's one of the things that I've always said when I'm bringing people into this industry, are you ready for change? Because it's never going to stop. You're never going to get to a point where we're static and everything's just moving forward at this point. There's always a constant change because we deal with humans, right? So what do you see coming in the staffing industry over the next few years, whether it's things like AI? What are some of the goalposts? Where are they moving to, Brian?
There's two big drivers, I believe, that are going to be big for all of the workforce and particularly our industry as well. The first is the lack of supply of talent and the birth rates, you know, that have been decreasing in the United States. There's not as many people graduating high school as there used to be. And that's a phenomenon that's brand new that we've never dealt with in all of the generations in the United States to now.
Right.
So that phenomenon is, I think we already see that playing out with people more apt to hire directly and not on contract. And labor hoarding is a term that you hear. So I think that that's here to stay. And I think it's going to drive behavior. And again, part of the talent solutions is that we're doing a lot more direct, you know, and hiring directly onto our customers' payrolls and solving their problem that way. And I think that's here to stay and going to increase. And then the other is AI. And AI is just automation, you know, and it's just a new level of automation and being able to automate different types of tasks. And that is just like we saw with the internet. It's hard to even imagine where people are going to go with it. But right now, we already see automation working with match, search, redeploy, things like that, that's doing it much better or at least faster than a human can. So I think it's just the beginning in that area. And it should even move into sales as well, where we see AI helping salespeople out in our business as well.
Yeah, I can't imagine what these AI products are going to be like in 10 years. Just looking at ours, what we're using internally, it's the most impressive piece of technology I've seen in my entire career. Like, it's stunning what it can do. And it's just starting.
Correct.
We're at the entry point. We're at the shot just went off. Yeah. Can you, 10 years from now, what's that going to look like?
Well, you look back. So we talked about the internet being very similar to AI. Well, so I was in the job before the internet. And how did people get a resume? Well, we had many, many branches. So you had to drive your resume to the branch and hand it to the recruiter. And then we would make a copy of it, or we would drive that over to the customer, or we would fax it to them. And then all of a sudden Monster and Career Builder and all these come along, and all of a sudden this is being emailed, and you could now do keyword search, and everything you see today came from that technology change, and everything now is built off of that. And we will see the same thing happen with AI. I don't know where that's going to go, but we will see things that we can't imagine that will change how we're doing business and how the customer is doing business as well. If you're in the business now, you see the change happen very rapidly with the customer, and the customer changing very quickly. And so I think we can all tell that it's going to move pretty quickly on us.
Yeah. And one of the good things about a company of our size too, Brian, it's one of the reasons why I'm excited about being at TRC, is we can be nimble. You know, we can adjust to these changing trends pretty quickly, whereas some of the larger companies, it's more like turning a ship liner, whereas we're a speedboat. And I like that. I like the fact that we can get in there and we can really respond to our customers' needs much quicker than, say, you know, one of the larger companies.
It's a very interesting period of time right now with the technological change, because we're a mid-sized company. And I would say that mid-sized companies have not been an advantage over the last 20 years. It's been better to be a big company and a hyperscaler. But right now, with the change in technology, they're at a disadvantage, because all of us have to go through digital transformation. We all need to get to a CRM, and we all need matching and recruiting technology also in that tech stack. And those are not easily applied across the staffing culture and implemented. And so the big guys are at a little bit of a disadvantage, even though they will have the data and they will be very powerful in the future. Right now is a period of time where the PT boats, us little guys that are able to move nimbly in technology, are at a little bit of an advantage right now.
So while we're on the topic of AI and enhancing our technology, are there any other technologies that you see coming down the pipe, like blockchain or anything like that, that's really going to change our industry that TRC will implement?
I do believe that blockchain, it was really hot for a little while, and now AI is very hot. And blockchain kind of came around and went away as far as our industry is concerned and the financial industry is concerned. But if you look in the medical business and how SnapNurse went to a billion really fast, and how did these medical apps, staffing apps, explode so much? It's because they had a uniform credentialing capability. If you're in a medical field, your credentials are easily gathered off the internet. You can go in and credential somebody very quickly. And once you do have those credentials, all hospitals will trust it. and they'll put you to work without even knowing who you are, as long as they know you have that credential. It's not that way in any other profession right now. Pretty much anything in the business world, it's very nuanced. There's nobody that's got solid credentials and knows exactly what you do. And I believe blockchain is going to be used in background checking, where we will be able to go and find that immutable record and quickly background check somebody, and you'll be able to carry your records with you. So I think that you're going to see that pop up into our business at some point, but it's just not ready yet.
Yeah, I think it's needed. I think it's necessary, because when we do backgrounds now, a lot of times, unless you choose a certain package, it depends on which package you choose as to what it's actually going to pull. So having that one link that pulls everything at once, I think it would be very beneficial to our...
Well, and I don't know, so it's amazing how challenging the customer can make their order. You know, when we started in the business, we did very simple background checks or none at all. And temporary help, people didn't care.
No, they didn't.
And now, even for basic roles, you're doing extensive screening, and that alone just takes a lot of time. But the customer really doesn't care, because that's on our side of the street. And so they just keep piling on, you know, more and more screens for us to do.
That's right.
And really, it's gotten to the point where it's just a bird's nest in our business, on our side of the street. And so I think that that's a big, huge place where technology can clean a lot up and save a lot of money.
You mentioned something earlier that I actually kind of want to circle back to. I'm going back to it. You were talking about how the birth rates are low. And I think the statistic that I read is we've been under the replacement rate for over 50 years, meaning that we're not producing enough human beings to replace the people that are retiring out for over 50 years. Where do we see a solution for that in the future? Do you feel like it's going to be some combination of trying to elevate birth rates, or do you think we're going to have to import our workforce?
There's no doubt immigration is being in the United States, it's our one advantage. That we're the envy of the world, and people want to come here to work. And so that's always going to be saving grace of this country, is that we have immigration. The other is automation. And those are really the only two answers we have there. And AI is scaring a lot of people, but I believe it's probably coming right at the right time for us as a country. And it's just, we're going to be short of people and short of people to do things. And I think automating is going to do nothing but help us get through that.
I've said this before, and I don't want to diminish the challenges that are ahead of us, but this was kind of the similar conversation that came along when agriculture was automated. You know, you're going to take a harvester and you're going to put 40 people out of work with that one harvester. And everybody's, where are those people going to go to work? But the reality was, is that harvester created 40 other jobs.
Yeah, that's a great point. So my dad grew up in, you know, field work. He cut okra, tobacco, picked cotton, all those things. Nobody wants to do that work.
That's right.
Nobody's going to do that work now. They literally aren't going to do it. The only way we can get it done is through immigrant labor and machines. And that's just moving on to other fields, other things. We know it in our job. There's jobs that are really hard to staff. There's jobs that people just don't want to do. They don't have to do, right? And I think that that's always the case. So it's probably not going to lose jobs as much as it's going to save us from the things that people don't want to do.
You know, we're talking a lot about technology and AI and all the platforms that are coming out. But one thing that I've seen a trend on, and I'm sure you have too, is there's a lot of companies trying to, I don't want to say force, I'm going to say implement gig technology into how they're approaching the staffing industry. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on how gig works within what we do?
I believe, like we talked about with the nursing, with the credentialing, I think it's been brilliant. And it's working very well, and it solved a problem. And so I believe there's apps that are going in there, and they would call themselves a platform, where there's an ecosystem with supply and demand on that, and which is what we do. We go out and we find customers and we find people, but we use human beings to connect those with technology helping out. What a lot of our competitors are trying to do is to automate all of that and take the cost out of that and make it easier so people can self-serve themselves. And I think that's exactly what I just said. It's self-service.
Yeah.
And we grew up as a service business. You and I both, we did. It was like, we grew up on customer service in this business. What can we do to go out of the way to make this really a good experience for the employee or for the employer? And I believe apps definitely serve a place, because there's going to be speed. possibly in there. And some people want to self-serve. Some people want to go out and just find some job and click on it and not talk to anybody. And somebody might want to find a employee and click on it and not talk to them, and they just show up. And I think it's going to do a great job solving that problem. But I think that's a very narrow part of what the industry is.
Yeah, I agree with that very much. So I think it definitely, like, you're more along your day labor is what you're thinking. It typically is better suited for that type of environment.
I do. And look, in gig work is piecing little small projects. It might work great. I think it works really good in the media space because you can put your portfolios on there and takes projects. So I think that there's places that it's going to be there and it's going to be formidable. And it might even be preferred over a recruiter working on it. But what we believe is that there's going to be, a lot of it's going to be the way it's always been, and you're going to use technology and AI and all these things we're talking about to just help make better decisions for the recruiter, because I think a lot of it still needs human touch.
That's kind of one of the things that I say about it a lot too, is I see a lot of companies, they'll bring in technology in and they think that it's going to solve staffing for them. Right, it's going to do the job, but that's not really how it works. You have to bring these technologies in and then use them to enhance what you already do. You put a microphone in a quarterback's helmet, that doesn't mean that you can forget about blocking and tackling, right?
Correct.
So I think that that's kind of how I see gig platform. It's a tool that you can weave into your other offerings to help solve that very specific problem.
You know this, when you're in the people business, you can't make up what can go on.
That's right.
And so, in my career as a branch manager, I would have people that, let's say something wasn't going well with a particular employee. I know that's very rare, but it can happen.
That never happens.
You know, you get a phone call to come out there and help with the situation. You know, something's gone wrong. I've had people had medical issues. Who's going to show up when it's an app? An app can't show up at that and handle, this is your W-2 employee. Who's responsible for this person? And, you know, self-service doesn't work at that time. So I feel good competitively where we're positioned against those guys.
I agree. We just got to stop Elon from putting this stuff into actual robots. Brian, outside of technology, the name change, all the things that we've done, is there anything else coming from TRC that's going to be, you know, a change in the way we do business or service or products that we offer?
I'm sure there will be. You know, there's stuff that we're going to come up with before the year's over that I'm not even thinking of right now. And I believe that's because the customer is moving quite quickly. I would say that we're reopening franchises again. We're looking at offering franchises again. We took a hiatus from selling those on the open market, but it's not something that's new for us. Mm-hmm. This is how we grew a long time ago. It was very in vogue in the industry. And starting in the early 80s, we grew through franchising mostly. And that over time with the margins started coming out, particularly with VMSs, it really became more difficult for us to sell franchises. It wasn't as easy for them to be successful. And so I didn't want to push them. I didn't want to go out there. And we really focused on company owned and getting better internally. And now it's been 20 years since we've been selling them in earnestly. And I believe the market's totally different. And I think things have changed. And I believe that our tech stack is very hard to emulate, much like it was early in the day when we started. And so I believe it's a huge opportunity now. And I believe that there's entrepreneurs out there that really are looking for a good place to land and a good partner to work with. And so we're gonna open that back up and bring in some new owners.
Well, Brian, I really, really enjoyed this conversation. Obviously, you and I have had plenty of opportunity to talk about how this company came to be, how you came to be in the company, and your vision and how you want it to look in the future. And there's no way we're going to cover that just in the amount of time that we have. But I really want to thank you for coming on. Really appreciate having you on the show today. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, that's it. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Chuck.
I want to say thank you so much to Brian Robinson for coming on the podcast this week. I thought it was a thoroughly engaging conversation and very informative. If you would like to hear more about what we offer here at TRC, I would recommend going to trctalent.com. I also recommend that you subscribe to this podcast because we have more coming, and I hope to see you there. And that's the Work First Water Cooler for this episode.